800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Follow the Money. That's at least according to New York Times bestselling author Michelle Malkin. She says both sides are to blame when it comes to the increase in illegal immigration, as Democrats and Republicans both want cheap labor and want people in the United States illegally that can help them gain financially.
I don't believe that the almighty dollar and profits and low wages for workers should drive our immigration system. We just recently marked the 18th anniversary of the September 11th attacks, and in large part it was because prioritizing the economy over our security and sovereignty led to such catastrophic events. And we have already the most generous system when it comes to legal immigration, whether it's the kind of work visas that the AILA lawyer was talking about, and there are a number of them that have been exploited to our detriment.
Malkin was speaking there on C-SPAN. Turning now to Capitol Hill, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer spoke to President Trump over the phone on Sunday to discuss gun reform. Speaker Pelosi discusses that conversation.
Leader Schumer and I called the president on Sunday, and we said 200 days, 100 people a day on average, encouraged the Republican leadership in the Senate to take up this bill.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
All right, here we're going to start. See, can you see me on the camera? Yep. Okay, good. All right, it's again, welcome to the Hack 100 and Radio Show number 14. I'm your host, Jim Minadio, and I'm president of Zero Surge, a manufacturer of power quality filters that are used for surge protecting sensitive electronics. With Zero Surge, you have peace of mind that your electronics are kept safe. Today, we have a returning guest from our show number 5, Eric Emerson of E-Squared IT Consulting. See, I got it right this time, right?
Nailed it.
So, welcome, Eric.
Thanks for having me back.
After our last show, we thought it'd be fun to turn the table on me and have Eric interview me. So, we're going to do that in a second. Thank you, Eric, for coming down to do this. And as always, we'll end the show with some historical perspective. And since the show is about me, or Zero Search, say, I'll tell you about my origin story. So I was born in March. I mean, just kidding. I'll tell you the origin story of Zero Search, which also started in the March time frame. So, but first, our weather. Let's see. It's a nice day. We both had to walk today to our studio here at the lovely Chamber of Commerce at 119 Main Street. They're doing the sidewalks outside.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, they're doing. They did last the other side of the road the last couple of weeks, and this week they're doing our side.
Yeah, I think you tipped me off about that. I parked like 4 yards just way down there. So
Yeah, I parked about on the other side of the street down. I saw some opening in front of the old Union Hotel, so I had a nice walk here. So it's in keeping with our radio format here. So it's 72 degrees right now. Looks like tonight it'll get down to 47. It's going to be 72 Thursday. So if you're watching this Thursday, it's going to be a lovely day. Friday, 79. Weekend looks pretty good. So that's 3 weeks now in a row I've had good weather here.
Nice.
I had a string of about 11 rainstorm, thunderstorm days.
Oh.
And then finally get here, I guess, three shows ago. It was sunny out the window.
Well, it's starting to feel like fall. You know, bust out those hoodies.
So. Yeah, so it's good. All right, so we'll do a quick commercial, and then we'll be ready to go.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Huntin' Hunterd In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Huntin' Hunterd In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
All right, we're back. Can you hear? Let's see. Speak.
How's it sound?
Little headset issue here. So, all right. So before we get started, I just wanted a news item about the Hack Hunterdon meetup, which you haven't been to any of them.
I know. Listen.
I know you have a young child.
Every single week.
Infant.
Every single time there was something that came up. So
the next one is September 26th. Bill Cheswick is going to be our speaker, plus hopefully we'll have the Hack Hunterdon beer ready, Bob promised. So if you're listening, Bob, get on it. But Bill Cheswick is a computer security networking researcher, formerly of Bell Labs, been around doing programming for 50 years or so. He'll be our guest speaker. According to Bill, the internet is working pretty well right now. He said, do you do your banking online? But there are clearly major problems. Vast data spills of personal information and passwords appear in the news all the time. Espionage of all kinds is thriving. But it's very early in the game, and safety is not the first concern of new technologies. So Bill will look at some analogous technologies and try to convince even the jaded security, cynical security expert that this all can and probably will get better. So I'm sure, like, Cody will be poking holes in his, Brandon, Grant, everybody who normally would be throwing slings and arrows at the speakers. So that should be a good talk. Again, we meet the last Thursday of every month at 7 p.m., at the Lone Eagle Brewing Company on Stangle Road in Flemington. Come out, first beer is free. So, and then sometimes we have extra free tokens to give out. So,
nice.
You know, Mark will usually ask a trivia question related to what we were just talking about and
make sure
see who's paying attention.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, again, as I promised, what we're going to do today is Eric is going to be interviewing me because I thought it was kind of weird for me to interview myself.
I think you do great.
I just felt like it would be more like bragging.
Just record each side, you know.
Because it's, yeah. I guess if my son wasn't here, wasn't in college, then I'd have him do it with me. Maybe he could have done this for us. But that's in the future. So, but we're here to talk about not really necessarily my personal history as much as Zero Surge's history. So I brought one of these puppies along as a visual. Let's see.
Here, where's the closest camera?
Yeah, it's probably this one. You can see how heavy it is. It's like 6 pounds, 5 pounds. It's beefy. Got, you know, your six receptacles in the back and then two on the side. Just happened to work out the way the topology is of this. And, you know, it's one of our more popular models there. Used for computers or audio, visual, TV stuff set up. You know, you have enough to do your TV, your DVR, your VCR if you still have one, which we still do. We have the combo DVD VHS because we still have a few VHS tapes from
that. Did you see that? I don't know if you guys remember. I grew up with those Disney, those plastic giant Disney.
Oh, yes.
The original ones. You know, they're going on eBay for like $1,000 a pop, right? Or
something. Well, we'll have to look and see. I mean, we did get rid of some of our non-valuable ones through yard sales, you know, like a dollar each, that kind of stuff.
Just discard, yeah.
But,
I did have a question about the unit, though, only because I ran into this myself. What's the maximum power output of those, that unit there?
Okay, so this one's a 15-amp, so you can do anything up to 15 amps.
Gotcha.
Our products are rated in current. So we also have 20-amp models for high-speed copiers. Which would... you know, so we have a two-outlet model for that. We have an eight-outlet model that would have an input of 20 amps, but because it's eight receptacles, you couldn't have them rated for 20 amps. It'd be just too much overload.
Gotcha.
The UL wouldn't certify. So each of those are 15-amp receptacles.
Yeah, I learned, this is actually kind of embarrassing, but I learned something that, you know, you see the power ratings on the UPSs that I typically field for desktop use, right?
Right.
We talk about UPSs and things like that. Now, I thought the rating on it was for the maximum battery output you're going to get, which kind of dictates its life when you have an outage.
Right.
Wrong. It's the actual power output of the unit itself, regardless of the battery, you know, in and of itself. So I've had, you know, at my house, I overloaded my desktop unit. And I was like, what's going on? It's got too much. You know, turns out you can't plug a window unit and a printer into the same.
You can't do that. window air conditioning unit?
Yeah.
No. Those have to be on their own.
Yeah.
Period, because those generally are going to be 13 amps, 14 amps. Yeah. I mean, the rule is actually that you want to be at 80% maximum for a continuous load. So if you're continually, that's why an air conditioner would be on its own, because even though it does kind of pulse through the day, when it's running for 3 or 4 minutes or 5 minutes, the compressor, it's running at full current.
Right.
And what can happen is if you run too much power, the voltage drops to try to keep the power going, because voltage is like the push.
Right.
And so as the device demands the power, the voltage will drop. And what that does is it makes the current rise. And if the current rises, then the wires overheat.
Gotcha.
That's what circuit breakers work on, the principle of that the current trips them, not voltage changes.
I see. See, you know, I learned a lot of lessons the first time I met you, because you gave me the full rundown of, you know, everything from how electricity works to why your normal surge suppressor is, you know, not that great. Now, what makes this different?
What makes ours different? Well, let's see. I guess we could start from the beginning of how it started. So that
we can get the history. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
You brought it up.
So what makes So what makes this different than, say, a Belkin or Monster?
Yeah. Why would I buy that APC? If I have a $5?
Okay. If you have, say you're going to spend $50, you go online and go, okay, well, I'm not going to get a $10 one. I'm going to get something that's a little beefier. And so what they do is they tell you beefier means more joule rating. They use this fancy term, joule. A joule is a unit of energy. It's a metric unit of energy. Okay, so, but energy is not time dependent the way power is. So power is energy over time. So it's how much energy you're using over time. So that's what power. That's why you have a power company, because they're giving you energy over time, and they're charging you based on how much energy you use during the time that you're using it.
Right.
And so, so with our product, what makes it different is that we don't care about this joule rating, because it doesn't mean anything. It actually doesn't have any physics as regards to how it protects your computer.
I have a funny story about that too.
So, what our product is different is that instead of, you have to know how the traditional ones worked, is that they wait for the voltage to rise and then they divert that surge energy to the ground line in your building. Our product doesn't do that. We don't divert. We don't wait for something to happen. So we're in real time. We're filtering actively the power that's coming through. So power oscillates between minus 170 volts and 170 volts. It's and then if you take the root mean square of that, that's what you get, 120. That's why they call it 120 volt. It's called RMS voltage.
I knew that, but just in case anyone listening didn't know that.
So what's important is that, so we're tracking the wave as it's going up and down, oscillating at the 60 hertz. And so anything that's vibrating at 60 hertz is great. That's power that you want to use. And all the devices, the power supplies, everything that you're connecting it to, expect that kind of energy at that rate of oscillation. And so all the components are designed for that. Now, what happens with a surge is a surge comes because something interrupted that wave. It could be as simple as turning on and off a light switch. It could be a sudden load, like the air conditioner, suddenly dropping the voltage, and then you get a little spike of current. Or the opposite, when it turns off, you can get a spike of voltage. It could be from, outside sources like lightning, which is what people think about, but that's like 20% of the time is lightning, car crashes into poles and stuff like that, power plants switching circuits, but most of it is coming from inside your building, you're heating things. So it's like, a laser printer actually can cause a surge.
Happens all the time. All the time. And microwaves.
Yeah, microwave ovens, hair dryers, ceiling fans, anything with a motor is going to cause a surge. Anything with a heating element that suddenly has to heat up will cause, toaster, coffee maker, those kind of things. And so what happens is that surge travels through the electrical system in your house, and when it gets towards your TV, the problem is that faster vibration is what's shocking the components in your power supply. And so what we do is we filter out anything that's vibrating faster than 60 hertz, and we let the 60 hertz go through. In order to do that, you need to have an inductor that is beefy. That's why this thing weighs so much, because of the amount of power that it has to be able to handle on a regular basis without degrading. So, but one of the there's many advantages of how we do it is, or one of the many advantages we have is that it doesn't wear out where the other ones wear out. It doesn't wear out. It'll outlive both of us.
See, and that's a lot of people. I mean, look, I'm an installer. The amount of old surge suppressors I've pulled out of boxes that are, yellowed with sun damage and years and years and years.
Yeah, and those were not doing anything.
Literally nothing. Yeah, zero protection. Most people don't know that. They don't know that. They're just like, I want to plug 8 things into one outlet.
Yeah. So let's take a quick break here because I have a good analogy that Donna is our sales and marketing director. She we're having a discussion in this a new analogy came up. Normally I talk about like water as an analogy for electricity, but I have an interesting one that even is cooler than that, and we'll talk about that after the break.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care At a moment's notice, Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
All right, we're back. Okay, so I promised an analogy here. So, again, Jim and Audio, Zero Search, Eric Emerson, E Squared IT Consulting, doing the questioning. So he was. We were talking about what makes Zero Search different, and trying to explain like what are we actually trying to protect against? Okay, so people don't understand the difference between like a surge and a voltage brownout. I mean, so some basic things. In the summertime, you get what's called a sag, what some people call a brownout. And what that is that, again, the power company can't handle all the loads that are happening. All of a sudden, everybody's air conditioning is turning on at the same time. You know, you have factories going, all that stuff. And so what happens is the voltage drops to try to keep up with the current. Now, to a certain level, that's okay. And most electronics now are not voltage dependent. They're current dependent. So if like if you look on the back of your like on the TV, it'll say the voltage input rating, and it'll say probably 85 volts to 260, because the TV is designed for the world. It's not designed for just the U.S. It just has a different plug on the back. And so Japan runs 100 volts. We run 120. Europe 240. So again, that's why the range. And so usually that doesn't really cause TV. The old TVs, they did. They had linear power supplies, and also the way CRT tubes worked is the thing that made the screen project in that tube to a certain width is based on the input voltage. So when you had a brownout, the picture would shrink in a CRT TV. So most people, I don't know if they ever remember this when they're kids or something.
Oh, so that's why.
So in the summertime, the picture would actually get smaller.
Yep.
Do you remember that?
Not particularly, but if you look at old cartoons, particularly like even like Ren and Stimpy, because I grew up on that, you would kill it and you would see it like shrink down before it disappeared.
Yeah, that's the voltage dropping too, so exactly.
Or do you remember Vectrex? Do you remember what Vectrex is? It was a home console video game system.
Oh, okay.
It had a controller built into it.
And
it was like Asteroids. Very cool.
Okay.
And the same deal. It was just like a little light-up display. You'd kill it and it'd shrink down before it.
Yeah, so there you go. So so the problem is with the today's power supplies is part of it is some of them can be cheaply made. I mean, they're trying to get away with the cheapest, you know, because they got to compete against everybody else for the same kind of products. And what happens when you make a cheap power supply is that it can't handle these changes in current very well, because what it's trying to do is take the AC and convert it to DC power, which is what actually runs your device. So it rectifies the power is what they call that. So the way I described it was kind of like the doors to like a store, say like a Walmart on Thanksgiving. So after Thanksgiving, you know, Black Friday sale,
Black
right?
Friday.
So if you have, you know, 1,000 people trying to get into the Walmart and they're trying to go through these two doors, you know, of course the doors are going to get broken, right? So that's an obvious surge. That's like lightning. That's the equivalent of lightning. But what about, you know, on a regular day, you know, it's really those, you know, at the beginning of the day when there's 10 people waiting outside the store and you open it up, that door gets pushed, you know, it gets used very vigorously. Everybody wants to get in. They're like rushing because they have to get to work or whatever. But during the rest of the day, the door opens, closes, open, closes. No big deal. And so it's kind of also like an analogy to power where, you know, when you turn on your TV the first time, that's when it's seeing that inrush of current, and that's when damage can occur. If that inrush is happening faster than the rating of that power supply component. So it's like shocking the system. And so that's what we do is we keep that, they call it the slew rate. So the rate of that rise of current down to a safe level.
See, I think most people, electricity, it's a mystical thing. It's basically
right.
Magic coming out of your wall.
Right.
And I think a lot of people, I mean, myself included, I don't necessarily know how it all works, right? I just know the more stuff you plug into it, the more stuff you can turn on. And eventually,
right.
Which, you know, it's kind of...
Until you burn down your house.
Yeah, until the house burns down, yeah. Not that it's a funny story. It's not a funny story at all.
Yeah.
But I worked with a guy at my first IT job at a high school. He had two of his houses burned down.
Two? Wow.
Two. One was not, you know, one was an old plug and the second one was a power line. But yeah, it goes to show you, you know, how devastating that can be if it's not properly protected.
Yeah, and there's other kinds of problems that, like, even we don't solve. So there's things like arc faults. So in a building, But before we do that, let me just finish the analogy. So, like, what we are in the case of, like, the Black Friday sale, Zero Surge is the one that puts the rope out in front of the store and makes everybody go one at a time through the door. That's kind of what this product does. It lets all the energy, no matter how much energy is in the parking lot, you're only going to let two or three people in at a time. And then during the beginning of the day, same thing. We're doing the same thing. So we're doing it all the time. The way a traditional surge protector would work is it would wait for something like the Black Friday thing, and then it would just send the people out through the loading dock door. Well, the loading dock's also for the trucking company to bring your products in, and so that's a sensitive place too, so you could damage that loading dock by putting people through there. So the analogy, the way they do it, is they send it to the ground line. Well, in a building, your ground, which is that third plug, the brown part, is used by communication as a reference point. So when communication goes through, like, your cable line, there's a DC voltage around 5 volts that oscillates. But it has to be voltage, because voltage is potential. It has to be related to something else. So it's the voltage on that cable line relative to ground. So everything in your building, everything in this building, floats on a certain ground, because the ground, literally the earth ground, changes its voltage all the time based on, you know, clouds, friction, all sorts of things, local geology, things like that.
So with your unit, what would you recommend putting it behind? What would you put it in front of, rather?
Oh, so what would you plug it into? So anything that's sensitive, that isn't like anything that would be a computer power supply. So any kind of cheap electronics would be good if you find that you just don't want to have to buy another one. Mm-hmm. Generally, the cheaper the electronic device, the cheaper the power supply is going to be in it. But even a TV, then there's the other end of it. You know, you have a very high-end TV, high-end computer. You don't want to have to set it up again. You don't want to have to buy another one. So kind of those are the two kind of sweet spots as far as what you'd want. And then once you start getting used to using our technology, you just don't want to use anything else, because it's like,
right,
it starts sinking in, like, hey, you know, if that other TV breaks, you know, I still got to replace that. Might as well, you know, spend a couple hundred dollars so it never goes out.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense. You're buying the latest equipment and you want the absolute best. You know, you're hitting the MacBook store, you're hitting the Apple store, and you're buying the absolute top of the line products, and you're putting a $5 Belkin power strip in front of it, and you're wondering why it died. I mean, that's an insurance policy on your equipment. It makes perfect sense.
And what happens too is people say, like, oh, they don't make stuff the way they used to. And technically, yes, that's true, but they imply like it doesn't last as long, and it's because you need a different kind of surge protector.
Right. Most people don't know that. And also, you know, most people just buy it at the dollar store and they're like, well, this will protect my stuff.
I mean, we have computers at Zero Surge that still run DOS. I mean, that's 20 years old. That's just a test.
Why?
Well, it's one of our in-house tests. It's just something that doesn't change, because we haven't changed how we make our product. So
why would you?
So it's just a matter of, we did back it up and with a Windows 7 laptop, but it's still there. It still works. We still had our old material resource planning software was run on Windows, I think, XP.
Good operating system.
But that was because Rudy never wanted to network anything. So when he was the owner, so a lot of it was just more of a security thing, and it just kind of grew because we never had to replace it, because it never connected with anything. So
I mean, you had mentioned Rudy. Now, I mean, I actually wanted to get a little bit to your backstory here, because I took you off a path. I apologize, but
that's all right.
So you weren't part of Zero Surge until you met Rudy. Now, who was Rudy, and what was
So Rudy Harford. He's an engineer that started out at RCA. So back when RCA was the king, he worked at Sarnoff Research over in Princeton.
I think they just make batteries now, right?
I don't know if they do.
That was a joke, but it was
Sarnoff. Well, no, they do research there. That lab is still there.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That was like
they still.
Lucent. You ever go to the Lucent building down in Middletown?
Yeah,
it's like a ghost town.
Well, in Middletown? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like down there.
We're gonna. That's actually going to be – that's being repurposed for something. I can't remember what.
It's huge. It's a it's a compound.
That and also like Fort Monmouth nearby
is
a big IT – there's actually a lot of IT companies in there.
Commvault, my buddy, works down there. They bought half of it, and they just they split it up. And
maybe I did beat somebody from Commvault.
Yeah,
I think so.
Everybody works at Commvault.
I was trying to get them to come to the Hack 100 meeting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
a good friend of mine works there.
And we'll tell him to come to the next meeting. So Rudy, okay. So
this is my fault, by the way.
I know, that's right. But that's kind of what makes the show good, is that, you know, we don't have these, we just keep talking. So Rudy was, he involved in color television, has a lot of different patents in the amplifiers that are used in TV. And so I like to say, like, the reason we have color television partly is because of Rudy.
That's amazing.
So, you know, so he was already a very accomplished person. And then he retired from there and was consulting for Samsung, and they were having issues with their printers blowing out, and he traced it to surge damage. And again, this is like that communication thing. So where printers, they need to communicate, and back then everything was definitely wired. So they needed that ground reference. And so the surge would come in, go through the surge protector, get diverted to ground, and then the ground is connected back to the printer on the backside of it, and where the communication was, and then blow out the printer from the backside. And so he figured all of that out and said, well, there's got to be a better way of doing this. And so he started modeling the behavior. He can use electrical engineering software that would model the system. And so he would try it with this, try it with that, and he came up with the simplest concept, was create a low-pass filter, and then started manufacturing these things in his barn over in Flemington. And literally for the inductor, he was using like nails inside a PVC pipe and then epoxy them together. And you can make an inductor because you just need the iron for the core.
Was his name Rudy or Walter White?
No.
Which one?
Definitely Rudy.
I see.
He was Rudy. And he's kind of like the, you know, because he has the mentality of a farmer. Use what you have and then make it work. And there's a lot of things in our building still today that you go, okay, that's definitely something Rudy would have done. And sometimes you look at it and go, it's kind of hokey. But then you realize there's a reason for that. Like, we have the side story, too. We had this expensive testing equipment that sends out surges, and we can program it to do different kinds of surges. And he had protected it by using a string of these little resistors. And our engineer was, like, looking at it going, why is he doing – just one resistor would have been fine to protect it from a surge going backwards through the oscilloscope area. And – sure enough, we were testing a product that another company made. They actually called us and said, hey, can you test this product without your surge protection? And we would just want to see how long it would survive without any protection. And we started running, and they actually made it incorrectly, and so it started shorting right away. And what happened was, if it was shorting right away and you had one resistor, that resistor probably would have been able to handle the energy. And so we wouldn't have known that there was a problem. But because these little resistors were in line, they started dying one by one. It was like you could smell them as they were burning. So it was kind of very slow. Like, instead of having one big fuse, he had like a little bunch of little fuses.
He's probably been in a situation or 100 situations probably where he was like, one's not going to do it. He probably you know, got
it. Well, he just know. I mean, to plan that ahead and to have that. And then when Brian came to me and showed me this, and we discussed like why he did that, and now we've figured out the story. It was like, well, that's genius. I mean, it just, you know, he just does things that you don't think about because he's so practical. He's like the most practical MacGyver. You know,
he's using toothpicks. He's using
He's like, well, you know, why use a toothpick when I can just hold my finger on the button? You know, like kind of stuff you would scream at MacGyver in your TV. Like, well, why do you go that fancy when you could have just done this? And that's what he does. And so, so Rudy, you know, developed this company, moved into our current building about 29 years ago or so, built the whole insides from scratch. He did it with some other person. They built all the offices and built the production up, and started creating a product, and then had some people help him sell it, and then grew it into this business. And then he launched another product through another company that still exists today, SurgeX. They can owe their roots to Rudy putting them in business. And there's another company that we deal with that makes a product called Brick Wall that does the private label of our product. It's not really a secret anymore. Most people know. So I'm not divulging anything there. But SurgeX, Brick Wall and Zero Surge are the three. They use the same what's called series mode technology.
This sounds very, I mean, it sounds like everyone should be doing this. Is there a reason why it doesn't seem like you have very many competitors?
Patents. So Rudy patented this. And so that's why. So he had the 20-year head start on that. And so that's the main reason. And then part of the patent, he didn't disclose everything. So there's some secret sauce to what we do that he handed down to me, some of the knowledge. So it's, you know, there's reasons why. I could show you our board. I could, you could look at it and you could take it apart and try to figure out. But knowing why we did what and what reasons we're doing it for is important. So it's not as easy as, you know, it would take you a lot of time. And by the time you did that, the other reason, now we have a 30-year head start. So our supplier, we have the same suppliers. We make it here in the United States. So we've had it under our control. All our suppliers come from the United States. We've had very long relationships with them. So even when I try to price second source for some of these things, the prices are almost double. So you could probably make our product if you really, looked at it and really thought about it and listened to how, read Rudy's papers and stuff. But by the time you put it all together, unless you're making a lot of volume, you probably won't be able to be competitive with us.
You guys are based right out of Frenchtown, right?
Yes. So we're kind of in between the downtown of Frenchtown. In between there, we're kind of Kingwood Township.
Gotcha.
But the mailing address is Frenchtown. So.
Now you purchased Zero Surge for Rudy. Now what attracted you to that?
Okay, so Rudy and I met because he was looking for an operations manager and I was looking for a job. So that's how we met initially. So I thought, hey, it seemed like we kind of hit it off. I figured I could, it was the kind of job I could do. I've always run the operations for different companies, things like that. And so, I just thought that'd be a good job. But then he never hired anybody for it. But I kept in touch with at least Donna. I would call every few months, say, hey, is there something going on? And she's like, no, nothing. And so I ended up at a company that was selling components. So I figured, well, he needs components, so I'll try to sell them. So it was like several months of getting a hold of him. And then I finally got through to him one day. And so I was asking him the question, how's business? And he's like, oh, I'm going to finally retire after all. And then I'm going to sell the business. And I just said, well, how much is it? And he told me, and I was like, all right, well, I don't have the cash to do it right away. But, my wife and I had actually been thinking about owning another business that was similar price. So we kind of already had this discussion in our heads, ready to pounce on the next opportunity. And I thought this would be a good opportunity. So he ended up financing it. So he ended up being the bank. So I didn't have to get a loan and go through that process because I think he wanted to get it done. He didn't want to wait. And in hindsight, I found out he had other people that tried to buy it in the past, but they just didn't have, they were like, oh, we're going to move into these bigger buildings and we're going to do this and this. And he's like, well, how are you going to finance that? And they'd be like, I don't know.
Hopes and
so
dreams.
He's like, yeah, that's what I don't think so. Is. So, excuse me. That was part of it. And, there may have been some other things. And I think what it is he liked that I was from Hunterdon County. We've been here now 20 years. He liked that my wife had patents. I have one patent in voting machine technology, which...
Do you really?
That's like a whole nother show.
Your wife has patents?
Oh, yeah. My wife, she's very smart. She's a chemist, and she worked for like Colgate for 20 years, and W.R. Grace, and the oil research in Oklahoma. And so she's got a patent from there. She's got a patent from, I think, from Grace, too, and then a few from Colgate. Her work at Colgate. So, she's pretty smart. And, we were looking at, and so Rudy liked, that we were, and to the point where part of our deal is we have to keep Zero Surge in Hunterdon County for the life of me paying him off. So, that's something that was important to him. Also, he wanted it to be because we're a S Corp. So if you know corporation structures, we actually have stock. There's like 100 shares. And so he sold me the shares of the company, so I own the whole company, which meant the negative for me is I assume all the liabilities, which there wasn't that many liabilities to worry about other than, you got to worry about the employees still keep their vacation time and things like that.
Right.
So if you do it as an asset sale, then I could just say, hey, nobody gets any vacation. You're starting from scratch. But he did point out the one negative to doing that is that if you have any government contracts, they will start you over from scratch too.
Ah.
So he did have some sales with that were through third parties, but they were to government entities. So that kind of convinced me, like, okay, we'll do this. So that's something just for anybody out there who's looking at buying companies. I mean, there's a stat that of private companies, only 15% go to heirs, meaning the son, daughter, cousin, whatever.
I feel like half the time they don't want them. Or they're not ready.
And only 35% of them are put up for sale. So the rest of them, they just shut down. That's and so there is this, they're calling it a silver tsunami of business ownership is happening where, I mean, little things may not make a big deal. Like in Clinton, you had Pizza Como. So the owner of Pizza Como retires, shuts the store down, done. He just put a note out like the week before, hey, we're done. Thank you.
Yep.
For 40 years of, you know, being in the community.
When we bought our house, they gave us a Pizza Como menu. They're like, this is why we moved here. Oh. I guess they shut down. We missed it. We missed the boat.
Yeah.
You know, now
that's funny. Yeah. Oh, wow. That's.
I guess it was the.
So, but there's other. I mean, but like, you know, okay, so there's Frank's or Marinelli's or some other places going to take over the pizza market. So that, you know, for all these private businesses, maybe some of this is not a big deal. You know, obviously, if it's like an accounting firm or a law firm, then maybe only one employee, the owner. And so when they shut down, their clients find other people to go to. But there are businesses like Rudy's where that is important. If Rudy decided to shut the whole thing down, you know, not only do people lose their jobs, but, you know, we lose a product
right.
in the supply chain.
Right.
And there's like Grant, who's here last week. He's with Magna Power, and they make DC power supplies. And so, you know, he was talking about the loads, the companies that make loads. There was one that was going to go out of business, and there's only three load companies. So, you know, if the other two can't take up the slack, what's going to happen?
Right.
You know, and so all these, so it's not just, you know, we have the issue in this country of having the older employees leaving, and then there's not enough millennials to keep up with these like machining jobs and things like that. And plumbers and electricians and all the other stuff that I've talked about in other venues. But it's also even things like ownership of these companies. You know, and it's not just, you can't just have somebody come in. Like, even me coming in, I've had 20 years of working for the owner directly.
Right.
So that was also what attracted Rudy to me, was that I've always been driving the bus. I just never had the keys or put gas in the tank. But I was I'd driven a lot of companies. And
actionable experience.
Yeah, so I have this experience, right? But, you know, all these other companies, if I know other stories where, you know, the owner was going to leave and some even employees within the company tried to take over, but they didn't have management experience.
Right.
They never got a chance to run the company. They don't know about things like, you know, inventory control or even HR stuff that you have to worry about as an owner or even know where to go. Like even the stuff I didn't know, I still knew where to go to find the information. You know, I knew that there was certain ways something had to be done because I had that mindset. And so not everybody can do that, especially if you're an employee taking over a business. You know, even me coming in, not being the founder, you know, well, Rudy did it this way. And it's like, you don't want to step on his toes, but you know, you sort of feel like you have to earn that respect too coming in. So there's certain personalities that don't, you know, it's one thing to start a company from scratch, you know, like say what you've done or what, you know, Brandon's done, you know, or even Grant to an extent, you know, because his father started the company. Right. It's like there's a different level of immediate respect because they created the company. So it's the second generation of people coming in, owning these companies. It's like, you know, there's a different mindset. And I think there's some lack of training that's, you know, and that's why I reach out to these other companies and learn how they run their companies. And people like you or Grant or, you know, we have, you know, that's the kind of questions I ask, like, why did you move to a new building? Why did you do these things? You know, because I want to gain that experience.
Right. And it's also, I mean, you know, I do a lot of work for small businesses, and what you see in these handover situations where there's, you know, maybe the kids start getting older, they work in the business, and maybe there's going to be some leadership changes. There's a whole, I mean, a lot of times they just show up and they want the position and there's no respect built and no right. tradition, and there's a lot of that you run into. And are we doing another break coming up, by the way? Is that
yeah, I think We do have another break. I guess we skipped the bottom of the hour break because that's optional for us. So, since we're having such a good time here. All right, so we'll do a quick break, as Eric noted, and we'll be right back.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for Modern Design. This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
All right, we're back here.
All right.
Don't want to too high here. All right, so we have about 10 minutes. I guess I did give you the history of how Zero Search started, so yeah. We could skip that part. Eric wants to go through the rest of the questions here that he has for me. So,
well, these are the best questions. I've
okay.
For the last.
Okay.
That's what this is. Well, so, I mean, obviously you are now the owner of Zero Search.
Yes.
What challenges in 2019 do you face that were different when you purchased in 2013?
Okay. So, for us, let's see, the challenges we face, I guess what it, part of it is that we're at a point now where I can't use being a new owner as an excuse for growing the company. So we've kind of, I figured out what the lay of the land is. And so the challenge is growing the company. Some of our, you know, current headwinds are the tariffs. I mean, that affects us because, you know, we got the metal cabinet. We have a lot of copper inside of this thing. And again, even though I said we buy from U.S. suppliers, those suppliers are probably getting stuff from overseas, specifically from China, just because China is the only country that makes some of this stuff. And then even the stuff that is made in the U.S., because everybody rushed to these American suppliers like Alcoa and such. You know, people like Ford and Boeing were going and, you know, hoarding in on all these products. And so it artificially rose the market. So the tariffs didn't do anything to help American other than a few specific companies that are, you know, a few steel mills that were ready to go. They pretty much didn't help. I mean, Bethlehem Steel is not, the steel stacks is still there. They're not going to be putting them, right. Those things back to work. So, right. You know, that's really not going to help. So that's,
I mean, it's great if you want to see Katy
as far
Perry
as I go.
throw money at a
political,
casino.
Political as I get. But basically, that's a big challenge for us.
I mean, to jump around then, because you just talked about it, do you recommend manufacturing in New Jersey? Is this something you would say?
I say you could do it. I mean, I don't see the bigger, because like these issues we had with the tariffs are universal no matter where we made product. I think the advantage is, you know, there's balance to everything. So we have the best people in New Jersey. You go down to, you know, I hear people who have companies in other states. You know, I won't pick on any specific ones, but just, you know, the quality of the workers are here. You know, this is the best trained people come out of New Jersey. So our school system is the best in the country. I mean, it's the public school system even here. No matter what we complain locally is because go to some of these other places. I mean, when Debbie and I were moved to New Jersey, one of the choices was to move to one of the southern states. And I remember her saying, some of the people who already moved down there from her company said, make sure you budget for private school. So, you know, even though it's cheaper to live down here, you got to spend $10,000 a year in private school for each kid. You know, so you start adding up the costs, and it's the same. I mean, a TV is the same price anywhere in this country because of Amazon. You know, pretty much everything is the same country that you, any physical thing.
Yeah.
It's pretty close to the same price because of Amazon. So then it's really the land. So why is the land more expensive in New Jersey? Because everybody wants to be here. So it's you're paying that premium. So from a manufacturing standpoint, you have to take advantage of the programs that are here. I mean, there's 13,000 manufacturers in New Jersey. You know, not every manufacturer probably works in New Jersey, but we have a lot of agriculture, pharmaceutical, you know, even electronics. I mean, like you mentioned, Bell Labs. I mean, New Jersey was the original Silicon Valley.
Right.
Before there was any. NJIT still has, like, the programs that teach and train these engineers.
Right. It was like telephony ground zero. It was just.
Yeah. I mean, Edison.
All the huge companies are here.
Bell Labs. I mean, those all here. So even in the power world, this area and through into the PA, there's a lot of power supply companies. So a lot of power was developed here, too.
You know, talking back, obviously you're passionate about your business and obviously very knowledgeable about the science behind it, right? Because you're blowing me away right now, you know. And I mean, you know, you talked briefly about growing your company. And are you looking for any particular partnerships or, you know, how are you looking to grow? I mean, could you do a fulfillment by Amazon?
What we did was we actually started Amazon originally took too much off the top. And they also are pushing you to get to be in their warehouse, which also siphons some of the profit away.
Right.
So because we use PayPal as our credit card processor, they induced us to join Walmart's website. So Walmart only charges 8%.
Well, yeah. So funny thing about Walmart. So my wife works in market research for Walmart. And,
okay.
They'll do anything to be Amazon right now. They don't care.
They've been very nice. They're a little slow on the support, but I would imagine Amazon is too, just with how much volume they're trying to get into their marketplace. But they take care of the taxes for you, sales tax stuff. They take care of the credit card fees. And they're doing the marketing for 8%. That's great.
Yeah.
So we're trying to take advantage of it. We just got it started in July. Got a few orders out of it, but I think we have to, now that I see what's not working, they gave me some hints as to changing up the verbiage to make it more attractive. Maybe less technical. I think that's the thing. I made just too much.
It's the easy thing to get caught up in.
So that's back to the challenges. I mean, one of the biggest challenges getting somebody to sit down and learn why our product is different.
Or take you at face value. We make the best surge suppression equipment on the planet.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Say that, but then you tell them the price, and they go, okay, that's a lot more than I'm willing to pay for. But you have to explain it's not just, it will never wear out, so divide this out over time.
Right.
You know, we pay ourselves in one less fire, one less, one less issue with your TV, one less issue with your computer system, your network, that kind of stuff.
A good analogy I use, because I run into the same thing, where it's a lot of education and a lot of, how to avoid disaster. A lot of it, my wife is a tailgater. She drives a car, very aggressive driver. Yeah. Like her whole family are tailgaters, right? She's never been in a car accident. I've been in a car accident. I've been brake checked before. I was 17. I used to be a tailgater, right? All I needed was one lesson. There's a U-boat between me and the car in front of me at this point. I drive like a grandma. Nothing, no offense to grandmas out there. But my wife's never been brake checked before.
Yeah.
People that don't invest in surge suppression just haven't had a disaster yet. When you don't want that to happen, it's people.
Well, the thing is, we used to think that, because we have two schools we used to call, are you reactive or proactive?
Right.
Right? And we started asking that question, and when we got some newer shopping cart for our website, for our store, and once we started accumulating enough data, we jumped in and said, okay, we know it's going to be reactive. But we found out most people claim they're being proactive.
Right.
So I'm thinking, all right, was it proactive because they're barely being reactive because it's proactive because they were burned on the old equipment. They're doing this on new equipment.
They're being proactive now.
Right. So they're thinking proactive. So, we're not 100% sure, but then we started tweaking the questions to try to capture this, and we're seeing that people are buying as soon as they find out within a week. You know, the time frame of making that decision is usually less than a week. So, that is saying, they're being reactive, I would say, because it's like, I just found out about you. I better do it right now.
Right. And this is maybe a good question to end on. What has surprised you about owning a business? Because I have about 1,000 stories I could tell you about.
Surprises.
What about it? What do you?
Well, some of it is more, I guess I'll make it about, how I've reacted to it. Like at first I thought, oh, I'm going to have to work, you know, 70 hours because I've been in jobs where I work 70 hours. And then I realized the reason I work 70 hours is because the boss didn't work 70 hours. But then there's one job where I was working 70 hours and the boss was working, you know, 80 hours. And I was like, oh, is this going to be? And I was surprised that, you know, you pretty much, you don't have to, you make your own agenda. So you get to drive the bus. You get to put out the route. And it's like, all right, we don't have to, you know, my beauty is I'm taking a company that's 30 years old, 25 years old, say, when I took it over. So a lot of it was already in motion. So I had a huge advantage there. So some of it, the surprising was, you know, some of this I have to treat as a startup. You know, the financials, basically, it's like starting over again. But then all these other things I realized, oh, I don't have, it's not a startup. You know, we've been around, we don't need to have financing as if we're a startup. We don't need that kind of stuff. We don't need, but I'm surprised at how many, the other thing I guess I'm surprised is, like, I've tried really hard not to be, like, to try to be the accessible boss, and I think maybe I go too far sometimes with that, with some things, but I think it's, you know, I'm just surprised. I guess I'm not really surprised at how, like, people, the ones, I don't know, I'm trying to think, there's, without naming names, that's the thing.
Yeah, Tom, if you're listening.
My best friend Tom, growing up, yeah, no. How'd you know? Yeah, I'm really surprised at Tom. He hasn't bought anything from me yet.
This is your best friend, you said?
Yeah, well, you know, maybe he's expecting the best friend discount.
Oh, I see. Shout out to Tom for the best friend discount.
All right, well, we'll see. His birthday's coming up. Maybe I'll hook him up. Yeah, I don't know what really surprised. I'll have to think about that for next time. Because, I mean, what kind of surprise were you thinking? Like, give me an example of one of your surprises.
I can go from working till 4 in the morning on a Tuesday to, you know, being done around, like, 3 o'clock and being like, what do I do with my time, you know? It's you're not punching the clock anymore. You're kind of, like you said, you're driving the bus.
Yeah.
It's very, use of time is an interesting.
Well, I've tried to be like, you know, everybody, we're 8-to-4 company, and I try to be there 8-to-4. So, like, I feel like I still feel that weirdness that I'm running late.
Yeah.
If I'm doing, so I do feel that still. To literally today, I'm like, you know, Donna got here before me or something, like that. I'm not getting here early enough, you know, or something like that. Like, you feel that. But then at the end of the day, I don't rush out the door either. I mean, other than today when I do the show. So that's right. That was kind of weird. So yeah, that's, but I think some of that I was equating to some of the, it's being a parent maybe. That's why I'm not, that's like, I was thinking there's stuff that you didn't think you would do as an owner that you'd have to do, like in a small company, like, you know, we have a mouse problem every now and then to take, I'm the one that has to take the mouse out, the dead one out of the trap into the trash or whatever. And so, but it's like the same thing as like changing diapers. Like you just, it's your company, you got to do it,
right.
You know, and, or, you know, so it's not really a surprise that way. I guess sometimes I forget, you know, when somebody offers something to me, I guess that's the other thing. Sometimes every now and then I forget that I'm the owner of the company. And so when people start selling me stuff, I thought they're interested in Zero Search stuff. So I'll start selling them back. And then it's like, and people in my office will laugh because it's like a 5-minute cold call to me ends up being 25-minute selling point to them, and it's like they can't, you know, it's, I forget, wait a minute, they were trying to call me.
Well, it has to be mutually beneficial, because, you know, cold calling is,
but I never did that before, like, because nobody ever cold called me before.
You're your biggest
you know
cheerleader.
Yeah, it's funny. So all right, so we're at the end of the show here.
It went so fast.
Yes, it does. Yeah, maybe we'll talk to Chris about making this a 2-hour show.
Two hour podcast.
2-hour special, you know. We'll do like a Christmas special. Maybe that's what we'll set up. We'll have to have like every guest who I possibly have. We'll all like line everybody up in the room.
I already got the John McClane haircut, man. I'll bust it out. I just got to get an ugly sweater. We're good to go.
Yep. But we do have coming soon, November 6th show. Be by the radio for that, or by the online portal for that. We had an interesting guest, a former astronaut.
Really?
Somebody I've known, I knew in high school. I contacted him, and he's going to be my guest via phone, unfortunately, not in person. But you know, maybe we'll set up a Skype or something by then. I don't know. We'll see.
It's because he's calling from space. That's why.
No, he's still on. He's on Earth. He did spend about 9 months though in the space station. So he owns the Guinness record for most photographs taken from space by a human.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that brings up a question. Could you just go up there and just claim any kind of, you know, like?
Well, he's got the photos to prove it.
Largest cat's cradle.
Well, you know, I don't know how that works with the Guinness people. We'll have to find out. Okay, so to close, thank you, Eric, for coming.
Thanks for
again.
Having me.
You've been a lovely guest. I mean, host, guest.
Guest host.
Yeah, the new, we'll have to have a new hybrid position, yeah.
I'm okay with this.
So thanks to all the fans that are watching on Facebook and YouTube. Or listen through the Chamber radio station. Thank you to the Chamber for giving me the opportunity, Mark and his team at Economic Development, and the gang back at Zero Surge, Donna, Deb, Jen, Tony, Dave, and John. And thanks to my wife, Debbie, and kids, Cora and Nick.